is not a test. This is reality.
ZeroPointRadio.com. I'm Clyde Lewis. With the events unfolding in the world right now, it is becoming alarming as to the accuracies of the discussions at the Ground Zero Lounge. If you listen to any of the most recent Ground Zero Lounge shows replayed on this radio station, you will see that everything spoken of at these events is taking place now. If you want accurate information about what is in store for your future, I ask you to remain listening to ZeroPointRadio.com and ask your friends and neighbors to spread the word. We are proud of our programming and want you to rely on it for its compelling and accurate portrayal of what plans are in store for the country. Many of these Ground Zero shows were recorded much earlier in the year. Many of them have been recorded 6 years ago. What Ground Zero talked about in the past is now in your present. And what we are giving you now is not a test. It is the future.
For coming out tonight to the Ground Zero Lounge. We have a few technical problems. We got them not quite ironed out, but hey, I'm going to just talk. I got stuff to look at. I got stuff to talk about. If you want to see the visuals, we can get you the show. We can record it for you, but in the meantime, no visuals tonight because apparently what happened is I got a virus on my computer that basically I had to go get the whole drive wiped, and apparently they wiped one of my ATI drivers. I didn't know you needed an extra ATI driver to run it off the board onto the screen. So tonight we have no visuals, but that's okay because people listening on ZeroPointRadio.com, they're okay with that. Everybody else is okay with that. So give ZeroPointRadio.com a round of applause tonight for hosting the show. Last week we weren't here because, it was Labor Day and they had another show here, but we're going to try to do our best to try and make up for the days that we missed and talk about what's going on, things that are really pertinent and really important that are happening in the Zeitgeist, kind of to keep you informed, to keep you aware of what's going on around us in the world and everywhere. So you won't be caught off guard or caught by surprise when the news breaks and this stuff that you're hearing here tonight is breaking on the nightly news. Tonight's program we are going to call the nocebo effect. And every time I bring up the word nocebo, I kind of got it because on 999 I was trying to think of something interesting to say. But I ended up doing a 9/11 show on Fridays. By the way, Fridays on ZeroPointRadio.com, I do a live show. And I was talking about 9/11, but I wanted to talk about the nines. And I got into nine, no, nothing. They're all meaning the same thing. And I got to the point of a word called nocebo. And nocebo, I was looking at it and go, what is the word nocebo all about? And I figured that the nocebo effect was something that we're all experiencing. And I wanted to kind of relate that to you so that you'd be well aware of what's going on in the world and what the nocebo effect is, really. There are case histories. For example, in time, we have heard stories about voodoo. When Western anthropologists first heard reports of witch doctors who could issue deadly curses, they quickly found rational explanations for this. The families of the cursed often felt that there was no point wasting food on the walking dead. For example, that's what many would do, is that they would be cursed by the witch doctors and then they would die of starvation. The witch doctors would go and they'd say, hey, you're going to die. You're going to die. And if that person felt that that witch doctor was powerful, he would eventually starve to death. And no one wanted to feed a dead man. So usually the villagers would also leave you out to die if you were told you were going to die. And that's the thing, is that people would die of simple starvation, not because of the curse. But there are other case histories when you're talking about negative effects on the brain. Back in the 1970s, for example, there were a bunch of doctors that diagnosed a man with end-stage liver cancer and told him that he had just a few months to live. Though the patient died in the predicted time, an autopsy showed that he didn't have end-stage liver cancer. He just had a small tumor. So what happened is the thought of dying killed the guy. Not the cancer itself, but the idea of dying killed him. You see, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. He was told he was going to die, and what happened? Yeah, he died, but he didn't die of what they said he was going to die of. He died because he felt bad, and he died because he didn't feel he had any hope. So, what I'm getting at with a nocebo effect is that what the nocebo effect is nocebo effect is when someone tells you, it's the opposite of the placebo effect, is when somebody tells you that something is wrong, or they give you a pill or something and they tell you it's poison, and you end up dying because you think yourself into dying. You think yourself into trouble. You see, what if this nocebo effect is done on a large scale? When we start to see a huge group of people being told that they're going to die, or a huge group of people told that there's no hope, a huge group of people telling them there's doom, what do we see critical mass of individuals giving up or becoming hostile because all they hear about is how their future is going to be nothing but doom and gloom? What do we begin to see people who love life begin to lose their zest for life? What if we begin to see children thinking about suicide, or even worse, killing another classmate? We've seen that before, right? Can't do anything right. Can't do my grades right. Can't get myself right with my family. But one thing I can do right is I can die right. And I can kill right. It's not hurting anyone else to just kill or die, right? Because everybody's unhappy. It's that nocebo effect. It's the opposite of the placebo effect. It's a nocebo effect. Wouldn't it make you wonder if all of this voodoo nocebo effect was making its mark on the world, if you started noticing all this stuff? Think about the nocebo effect. Think about the idea of a negative being thrown out there and having the people deal with that negative. One of the last articles I had written for Ground Zero before I had cancer was based on the idea of creating a social crisis and having it grow into a social civil war. It would have to be a pretty large wedge that equally offended both blacks, whites, immigrants, and all classes. And this would create a monkey wrench in the system, creating division and chaos. Would not be limited to partisan bickering or international differences. What you needed to do is you need to find a wedge that everybody can agree or agree to disagree on. You need to find somebody to throw amongst the people so we'll be basically at each other's throats day in and day out, to where we're in a social war, which is worse than a civil war. Why? Because with a civil war, at least you pick sides, you put on your uniforms, you go out and shoot each other. In a social war, you basically are fighting amongst each other. You basically are talking amongst each other. You basically are not trusting one another, you see? And that's how social wars work. Because you keep it to yourself. You keep that all inside of you, and then every once in a while you think you can trust somebody, you tell them how you feel, and what happens, that somebody goes and tells somebody else, you end up going to jail because of something you said against the government or something you said against someone who's important. So that's what a social war is. A social war is what that is. And I've lived in a place where social wars existed. Argentina was one of the places. Well, by the way, if you have something to say, please say it on the microphone, because that's what they're here for. The microphones are here. I don't take well to hecklers. And I do have new rules now that if you don't get on the microphone and you continue to talk to the audience, you are escorted out. Because we've had problems before with security and problems like that. So please, if you have something to say, please say it. I want you to think for a minute about all the nocebo effects that are going on, or the nocebos, opposite of placebos, that are out there right now. We have swirling around into a nocebo effect anything from apocalyptic paranoia to healthcare concerns, global warming, and pandemic flu. Think of all those things swirling around out there, affecting everybody in a way that's negative. And everybody has their agenda regarding all of these issues. They either are for it or against it. They either think it's happening or they don't think it's happening. We've got 70 billion Christians out there who believe that the second coming is near. We have the apocalypse near. And there are many people out there that would just love to give God a nudge. just love to push it right over the edge until the second coming comes, and then they wake up one day and find out there is no second coming. And then they go, oops, I made a mistake. That's what we have to think about. We have to think about those nocebo effects. Pandemic flu, global warming, those types of things. Barack Obama made a statement and this is what really got me going. He made this statement, I think it was on the 9th. He said that he wants to be able to find a sense of crisis in the country so that people would be concerned about health care. And I say, what? He wants to find a sense of crisis. Now, this is really scary. When a president starts saying that he wants to find a sense of crisis, I begin to think that this is the same as what happened prior to 9/11, where someone had said, hey, just in case, you may want to help me out a little bit. I'm having a hard time pitching my health care plan. My popularity is in the shitter a little bit. You think that maybe you can give us a sense of, oh, I don't know, crisis so that I can help myself along? See, that's what's really frightening, because here we are, government always seems to function a hell of a lot better with a crisis. We can't do things just because we want to do them. We have to be pushed a little bit. We have to be shoved a little bit. We have to feel the pain a little bit. We have to just be kicked around a little bit by a fascist state in order to get our asses up and think, oh, we got to do something now. But see, government wants to manufacture a crisis to justify its existence, its policies, and its approval ratings into the stratosphere with their crisis. Because if he has something to fight, if Super Obama has something to fight, if he has a villain to fight, then, hey, shorter cord, hey, he will create it in order for it to be there, in order for him to vanquish it. It's like this virus I got on my computer. You know, virus companies, you know, the software companies that sell virus software to get rid of the viruses, they stay in business by creating viruses. Exactly. Our government stays in business by creating crises or crises. Yes, go ahead and applaud that too. It's true. When I said it was very disturbing to hear this from Barack Obama, I said it because of the fact that I was worried because of what I know about the Project for the New American Century and what was said when they created that. They said that they wanted to create an expanded military. So what do? They wrote their manifesto saying, we want to create an expanded military, but there's nothing we can do to convince the American people that's important. But we do need this crystallizing event, or this Pearl Harbor. We hope something happens, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, to put us in that position. Bingo, bango, we celebrate our 8 years of 9/11. Celebration, epic fail is what that is. September 11th, 2001, our crystallizing event took place. And that is where, my friends, you can find your first clue as to who is responsible for the 9/11 attacks. You don't need to go looking under rocks and missing planes or anything else. You go right to the source who uttered the words and wrote them down. His name is Dick Cheney. The maximum effect must be achieved with this goal in mind, with the crisis that they are developing now. Think about it. If Obama says we need a crisis, someone out there is going to give him one on a platter, and it's going to harm you and me. Go ahead.
Well, one of the first things that a detective would take into account when examining a situation of that scale is Ki Bono, who benefits from it. And it certainly wasn't the Middle East that benefited from 9/11.
That's right. The Middle East didn't benefit at all. And if you remember, if you were listening to my show on Friday, I actually demonstrated to you when Robert Graham spoke on the Jim Lehrer Hour, he actually said that there were many governments involved, and there was a sovereign state government that was involved with 9/11. So if that's the case, then what do we have going on? We have something called a conspiracy. And President Bush told us not to believe in outrageous conspiracy theories. Barack Obama said the same thing. It was almost deja vu. Why are they saying this? Because they want us to be led away and not demand an investigation into the crisis that they manufactured. The previous administration was accused of fostering nightmare scenarios in order to facilitate a crisis to maintain two wars. These wars were unnecessary and have placed our economy in the red. They've also placed this country at a higher risk for future attacks. The Obama administration now has not really created any new nightmares. However, they have been able to keep up the pitch of unnecessary dread amongst the populace. This most definitely is not progress. It's not progress to continue the dread after the nightmare. That'd be like waking your child up out of his nightmare and then slapping around a few times and say, snap out of it. No, no, I'm scared. Snap out of it. Oh, no. There's going to be change. Oh, no. That is what's going on with the country right now. We are maintaining that pitch of dread with a crisis that's looming ahead, whatever it might be, whether it be the flu, whether it be another war on the horizon, who knows. If anyone points this out about the Obama administration continuing the dread, what happens is that they basically are called heretics. They are heretical operatives that seem to be playing for a right-wing extremist conspiracy, although many of the so-called protesters seem to be moderate Democrats and not right-wing extremists. Moderate Democrats have wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton, but no, they decided to take it out on Obama. And there are a lot of Obama people that are now saying, well, change isn't happening, we feel bad about what we did. Told ya. Told ya. When I said not to vote, I was an unpopular asshole. Told ya. It's not going to change. Not by just handing over a check, an unwritten check to say, here, here's my vote now, cash the check and fuck me. That's exactly what they're doing. Thing is that protesters have lost faith in Barack Obama and his dogmatic prose. They're tired of hearing it. They want to see some action. Go ahead. James Evan Pilato from Media Monarchy. Give him a hand.
Thank you. I don't know if you were going to get to this, but the press release that came from the White House on September 10th, the continuation of the state of emergency that Bush wrote down September 14th, 2001, they keep it going. So on September 10th, you can just go to whitehouse.gov and see the press release that says, we're going to keep the state of national emergency that gives me the blank check to do whatever right. I may need to do.
I didn't know that. Thank you for that. Thank you. Give him a hand for that. I did not know that we were doing that. So we have this looming threat also of socialism that everybody's scared of, this other nocebo effect. That word strikes in the heart of the working American, fear. Why? Because he feels like that he's going to be working his ass off only to have his wealth taken away and distributed equally among the people. That includes his health care plans. He's worried that everything that he's worked for is going to be taken away, and we're going to be seeing a lot of people who've worked lose everything to people who aren't working. Also, the nocebo effect took on a dark flare of necromancy when people like Pelosi and others decided to name the health care plan the Kennedy health care plan. What better way to do voodoo than to bring up a dead man and say, hey, let's name it after him. Let's play on the hearts of people in the Kennedy name. That is true necromancy. Using the dead to benefit the living. They did it with 9/11. They kicked the corpse for loose change. Now they're kicking a Kennedy for loose change. Well, what I'm getting at is the body wasn't even cold when lawmakers said, oh, let's call it the Kennedy plan. My God, these guys are sick. You know, 3,000 people die in 9/11 and immediately we're already throwing up a cross and praying to it right there at ground zero. When most of the people that died in that accident were either Jewish or Muslim, they weren't all American Christians. A lot of them came from all walks of life that died in the World Trade Center, but yet we had to be sympathetic to a religious type of attitude. Or we have to kick the corpses in order to get some sort of care from people. Meanwhile, the hidden agenda behind this health care reform is a more detailed form of medical surveillance. It's basically the surveillance state in your medical records. And, of course, Zbigniew Brzezinski, which, by the way, I learned something new last week. Remember last time I did a show, I had Animal Farm up here by applause. Remember that? Remember when I turned Zbigniew Brzezinski into a pig? Do you know what his name is? He's Polish. It's not Zbigniew Brzezinski. I found it out. His real name is Pigniew Brzezinski. Pigniew. So next time Pigniew Brzezinski decides to make plans and to basically create the electronic files for the surveillance medical state, and blood DNA is now, they want to do blood DNA bases. Now hospitals, they were put on alert. because they would say, okay, you're taking blood from a patient. You've got to let them know what you're going to do with that blood. And the hospitals go, oh, okay. But they were first going to use it to get a DNA base of you and your family and your loved ones and everything else. It was going to be enforced by the CDC and the WHO and the CIA and all the other alphabet agencies. Well, guess what? You know, what's really interesting about this DNA base is when the hospitals were called under scrutiny about it, guess who decided to get in the act of basically taking people and taking their blood away? The police. Policemen now are being trained to be phlebotomists. If you refuse a breathalyzer test and they think that you have been drinking or they have suspicion of it, they can hold you down and they can draw blood from your body. This is something that's going on. I mean, Barney Fife can actually hold you down and take blood from you. I found Baloo. No, seriously, they can. They can do that. That's frightening. The vampires are now your police officers. They're saying it's because of the crisis of drunk driving. You know, this is what's really weird about that is let's say, for example, you have a mild stroke. They can hold you down, take the blood from you, even if they're suspecting you. Even if you have like one or two glasses of wine. Go ahead.
I understand for the sake of public safety, they've developed a protective mouthpiece that also will extract blood from your neck.
Whoa.
I don't have the part number.
Very good. Give him a hand for that. That's beautiful. You know, this is where people can conclude, well, if I'm not drinking, I don't have to worry about that. No. It's like, look, if you have a health problem and they suspect you're drunk, there are things that you can have happen. Your blood sugar can go wacko or whatever. They can strap you down and take your blood. But you're free in America, aren't you? This isn't a police state. No. You know, they love to cast shadows of doubt and give you crises that you can get behind and say, oh, I'm justified in this, or the law enforcement is justified in that. But you know what? It's not for your own good. This is not to have safety. It's been shown that the mind, when people are afraid, actually say, okay, do whatever you need to do. Just don't shoot me. Don't tase me, bro. Go ahead.
Just to feed you off paranoia, you realize that blood isn't going to stop there. They're going to chuck it for every substance known to man as long as they have it.
That's true. They will. And, you know, when people are in this mood, when they're in this nocebo effect, they get like deer in the headlights. They're frightened. And, you know, they'll pay attention to the man who is on the news, or they'll pay attention to the guy who has the PhD, or they'll pay attention to the guy who claims to have this credibility. But they won't listen to just somebody telling them, look, what the hell are you doing? Do you realize this goes against everything that you believe in? Yeah, well, I got to do it or else I'm going to die. Or I got to do it or else I'm going to whatever. People will eat worms if it means it'll save their lives if they're told they have to eat them because it's going to save their lives. Because they're frightened. They don't know. They don't take the time to learn or figure it out. You know, Hitler had a thing for that. He called it the big lie. He said if you told a lie that was big enough and you were a person in authority. Go ahead. Yep. He said that if you are a person in authority and you tell a big enough lie, the people will believe it. They will believe that lie. And the reason why they'll believe that lie is because they put their trust in those who are in authority. Social engineers are going to bank on that idea that you're going to fall for it and that you will go and do as they say. Go ahead.
I'm wondering if these blood samples become public domain, at least at some point in the future after your blood gets drawn. For example, could your employer find out about a blood test taken by a pullover and find marijuana?
Yes. Sure.
So you could work a job where they don't piss test you, but if you get pulled over by a cop and they find out, then...
I actually had a lease on a car, and the car's lease was taken away from me because I was pulled over at a stop where a policeman thought that I was a suspect in a murder case. When he frisked me, he found Vicodin on me because I was taking it for some pain that I was having. Found Vicodin on me, and he said in the report that I was high on drugs and I wasn't. I had to challenge it in court. And that's what they do. And the guy who had the car that had a lease, I was doing for a radio presentation, he took the car away from me, so he didn't want to deal with me anymore. Go ahead.
This would be a good place to bring up another issue with blood. Once the authorities have a sample of your blood, it can go into a DNA record.
Right.
And it can be actually copied into a computer, and thenceforward they don't need the actual blood sample itself. They have the genetic code.
Mm-hmm.
Now, additionally, it's been developed a process to synthesize the DNA. So all they need is a record of your DNA,
sure,
which they can synthesize and placed at the scene of a crime,
mm-hmm. and you falsify
and provide evidence that you committed a crime.
Exactly. Thank him for that. Give him a hand. It's true. I was going to bring that up, but yeah, it's very true. It's the nocebo effect. It's the negative ideas that they place in your head where you're just going to throw your hands in the air and say, give up. Nocebo. Placebo means I have come to please. Nocebo means I am here to harm you. And people don't realize that they're being harmed. They either become cynical or they get fearful. Either or. If I had a gun and I was pointing at you right now, you didn't know if there was a bullet in it or not, you wouldn't like it very much, would you? That's exactly what it is. It's imaginary guns being pointed. You don't know if it's loaded or unloaded, but they're pointing a gun at you, and you'll never know who's going to get shot or going to get hit with it. That's why the pandemic flu is such a beautiful weapon. Why? Has a number of people scared. A lot of other people say, oh, it's not going to harm me because it's not that big of a deal. Other people say it's going to be a big of a deal. It's going to kill a bunch of people. Either or, you need to respect it like a loaded gun. You don't need to be afraid of it, but you need to make sure that you take precautions so you don't have to sit there and do something like over-medicate yourself or anything like that. You know, and that's the thing, is that when you have these many things being thrown at you, these many nocebo effects being thrown at you, eventually one is going to be the biggest lie of all. You're going to figure it out, and then you're going to feel betrayed. Betrayal, where promises that are made are easily broken, and you're convinced that it's up to you to be an apologist for that betrayal. In a sense, you develop Stockholm Syndrome and you become a willing slave to your master. How many Stockholm hostages are already apologizing for Barack Obama and his bullshit right now by applause? Yeah. Oh, give him a chance. We're still at war and you're increasing your war. Go ahead.
I just want to follow up again on the point before that about being pulled over by a cop. If you were unwilling to have them place a needle in your arm to take some blood from you, I'm sure the police can get blood from you in other ways.
Exactly, they can, which is true. How many people are familiar with Congressman Joe Wilson? By applause. Yeah, well, he broke protocol by calling Obama a liar to his face in a congressional meeting. Obama drama is what they're calling that now. Hell, everything's Obama drama. If you don't like what Obama does, it turns into a big Obama drama. And you need to start admitting it. Go ahead.
Sorry to keep going back to the blood and the police drawing it and whatnot, but it just occurred to me that if it becomes open source knowledge for employers to see what your blood contains, if
right.
in any drugs involved, but that... If that becomes open source, then it might just become one more thing to throw up on the Facebook, and then you get judged by your peers.
Sure,
as well.
That's true. I mean, you know, you never know what's going to go into people's Facebooks, what's going to go into their MySpace. You never know that stuff. Anyway, so Wilson basically said what he said, because you remember when Wilson said liar? It was after Obama said that no immigrants were going to get free health care. And they called him a liar. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me we all know what's at the bottom of this whole healthcare issue, don't we? It is about the xenophobia. It is about the idea that someone's going to get a free ride. It's the idea that, once again, the working man is fearful of the fact he's been working his ass off and somebody else is going to benefit from it. That's what's going on here. And you know what? Socialism's that way. Sorry to let you go. So go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just curious. You mean he did say illegal immigrants, right?
What's that?
He did say illegal immigrants, right?
He said, yeah, the immigrants, yeah, illegals or what have you, yeah.
Well, because legal immigrants, they should get
Well, illegals,
here.
That's what I, yeah, exactly.
All right, I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
I very purposely did not watch the speech.
Oh, well, I watched it anyway, and that's when it happened. But what I'm getting at is the social war, once again, brewing because of the fact that people have this problem. They don't know, you know, it's easy for people to get deeply attached to their beliefs, and from emotional attachments, they get wrapped up in their personal identity, their sense of morality, their idea of sovereignty, all of these things that mean absolutely nothing now, okay? You have immoral leaders running your country. Where is your morality? You have unethical leaders running your country. Where are your ethics? They leave when you walk through that voting booth. And I told people, stand by your ethics, stand by your morality, and don't vote these people in. But you know what? They do it anyway. They think I'm crazy, and they get all offended by what I say. Well, I don't care. Because I know that when I go to sleep at night, I'm not responsible for this shit. And that I have talked about ways to get out of it. But you know what? I don't have enough money or anybody else to back up the idea. Go ahead.
Just to put a a historical perspective on this. We're not that far removed from the era of kings. And so right now we're in an era of leaders who are basically performing the acts for the kings who have kind of taken a backstage. And we haven't quite evolved to the point where we actually have a working democracy. I mean, that's obvious.
Right.
So we're in this stage now where we want these, we vote these people in, we have these expectations, but we find out they're working for somebody else, right? I mean, that's the gig.
Sure.
And we're outlining, you know, ways of keep pulling the rug out from under us.
Right.
But that's basically the framework, is we don't really have a democracy yet.
No.
Because the kings haven't relinquished their power.
No. And the peasants are demanding they have the hot oil being dropped on them. Go ahead quickly.
Well, with Joe Wilson says, you know, what he says in Congress at the July, it's a demonstration of passion, but it's, like you said, a fear of losing something you're entitled to. It's the same passion in the town hall meetings when someone would scream into the microphone and say, you're destroying the Constitution because they're afraid they're losing something. What they're looking at is people exploiting a loophole, like as if somehow you're going to eliminate people. There's going to be loopholes in every law that happens. There's going to be a loophole in abortion. You can't say, oh, okay, let's make abortion illegal. Bullshit.
Well, there will still be
loopholes in that.
They're exposing the loopholes, and they're basically capitalizing on the loopholes, and the people are afraid of their loopholes. And it's because of the fact that faulty information is being given on both sides. Not just Republican, not just Democrat, but both sides. It's being done for a reason, for the sole purpose of creating a social war. And left unchecked with all the negative nocebos that are out there, you will start seeing the powder keg explode. And we don't know who's going to be the first to explode, but somebody is ready to do it. Mobs are going to spring up, things are going to go badly, and we're going to see it happen. Why? Because that's exactly what's happening. The United States is well on the way of becoming a militarized state. There's no doubt about it. You know, people like Alex and people like James and several others have been saying the police state is here, the police state's coming. The police state is here, but the thing is, it's hidden in nice, lofty terms. You ever heard of NORTHCOM by applause? NORTHCOM exists, and it's waiting in the wings to take over. All they need is the right crisis. All they need is the right thing to make in urban warfare. And you know what's interesting is that the police, the CERT teams, the SWAT teams, the police teams, the soldiers, the private groups are all interchangeable. Do you know why? Because people don't know the difference between real law enforcement and militarized law enforcement. Because it's beginning to look all the same to them. Whoever is there with the gun that's going to protect them against the boogie man is okay with them. And it doesn't matter who it is. Even if it's a criminal, that's okay with them. But then again, it's easy, like a pit bull, that it can turn on you and you could be the one in the crosshairs of that gun. And that's why people need to be aware that law enforcement is going to, you're not going to be able to know who to trust in law enforcement if this is how we end up. It can create a public panic, but then people will be able to go out of their houses. They'll be afraid to. It'll be a war of policemen, a war of National Guard, deputizing the National Guard. It happened in South America. The New York Times revealed recently that former Vice President Dick Cheney had wanted to deploy active-duty Army soldiers to arrest the so-called Lackawanna Six, a group of wannabe terrorists in Buffalo in 2002. It registered just a small little blip on the radar screens for the national news. That's why no one seems to care that the Army combat teams are not deployed on U.S. soil, even if they want to raise concerns over reports that the military might be planning regional teams to go into neighborhoods and inject people with the swine flu vaccine. They're already there and already in the plans. NORTHCOM are the ones that are going to be doing it. We've heard about the false flag stuff. We've heard about all that stuff. We've heard about the helicopters, the black helicopters. They're not there to observe and to basically record how to get into a city like Beirut or a city like Baghdad. No, they're flying over Portland, Oregon because they want to get to know Portland, Oregon. They forgot to buy the little video at the Chamber of Commerce and ride the little trolley to get the tour. They'd rather get in a black helicopter and land it on the bridges. Okay? They need to know where the nearest places are to get people out and get people in because that's what they're planning on doing. Every big center has been used and drilled. And that's what's happening, all with this crisis is looming. intervention is also, there are intervention teams involved where if you don't want to go with the program, they'll make you go with the program. And that doesn't even include the swine flu. If you decide you don't want to get a swine flu vaccine, they have intervention teams that will make it so. If you don't want to follow the socialist way, they have teams to make it so. Everything is making so under the power of Hope Gnosis, under the power of Barack Obama. That means that they're going to be easily persuaded to dismiss 200 years of tradition and overturn posse comitatus. Why? Because we're afraid. All the things that we value. You know what? Posse comitatus, you know, a lot of people may think it's a rap group. Some people might think posse comitatus is a rap group. A lot of people thought that Muhammad Atta was a Star Wars character. And Osama bin Laden was a Star Wars character. I swear to God, you talk with the people who are going to give the loan to Muhammad Atta to get those sprayers for planes, the woman said she thought he was crazy and he was working for somebody like Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm not kidding you. It goes to show you how uninformed we truly are and how the deluge of people running into the streets out of panic are probably just on the horizon. After the attacks of 9/11, the government decided that they would need to create an illusion of safety and security. Now most Americans are far removed from the idea that our government could be anything but a benevolent father figure. This type of attitude is the breeding ground for all sorts of state socialist policies. This would have been the case regardless of who was the helm of the country. The socialist daddy state creep is not the product of Obama. It is the agenda of the New World Order. And it always has been the agenda of the New World Order. The socialist creep was already beginning to come together at the end of the Bush administration. The bar was lowered with a management policy that created a schism within political parties. The left became complacent, the right became disenfranchised. Now, the complacency and apologetics have become the best friend of the socialism military mission creep. The Pentagon, which has no loyalty to partisanship, will take advantage of the political environment and extend the homeland security measures in order to create another crisis, this being domestic terrorism. You think Obama's the Joker? Hell, Bush had it all planned out before he even took over. Domestic counterterrorism is going to be held by NORTHCOM. They're the ones you're going to have to answer to if you have that going on in your town. If you don't believe that these contingency plans will be carried out, to keep in mind that after Hurricane Katrina, President George W. Bush attempted in 2006 to broaden the executive's ability to declare martial law and put federal troops in charge of responding to natural disasters, epidemics, or other serious health emergencies, terrorist attacks, or other incidents. They've got the whole thing sewn up for a police state and a military action. This has not changed under the leadership of Obama. You heard that tonight. Just now they said it hasn't changed. What you're seeing is a plan that was put in place years ago. The plan was invoked by George H.W. Bush on September 11, 1991, when he declared the beginning of the New World Order. It was Bush who elected the agents in charge of the continuity of government. These agents were Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and James Woolsey, just to name a few of them. It was then that they were duped into a one-party shadow government that disguises itself as a two major groups. The Clintons benefited from the plans because they too were supporters of the government takeover and the proposal for the father state. George H.W. Bush, of course, was a member of all the same secret groups that Bill Clinton was a part of, and so the torch was passed to yet another leader who had a gift for convincing the country of its superiority. As Clinton put a smile on our nationalist socialist movements, there were others who sought a larger role for the military, a role which would make the United States more aggressive. This is where we get into Dick Cheney and his wonderful military treaties in the Project for the New American Century, as we had talked before. So, in 1998, they were working on this, basically proposing that we have a military, a Leviathan military. The authors of the Project for the New American Century addressed that very proposal. They said the idea of creating this type of change would be a long and hard task, unless, of course, there was some sort of crystallizing event. We did talk about it. It was 9/11 that happened, which many people will consider our Reichstag fire. Partisan fighting about what this may be. You know, people, when we said bad things about Bush, it was the right wing that came on you and got pissed off at you like vicious dogs, and they attacked you. When I was attacking Bush, I was a popular guy. Everybody loved me. Now I'm saying bad things about Obama. There are a lot of people in this room, and I won't point fingers. Don't like me talking about it. It's partisan fighting that has put us in the spot we're in now. While Republicans were jeering about the country becoming a nanny state, they helped to advance the more threatening daddy state for 8 years under President George W. Bush. It's up to Americans now to decide where the line should be drawn. However, it seems that it might be too late to pressure the current president to stop it. If you protest now, you're on the right-wing extremist list. If you're a socialist, if your solution is right-wing government, you're made to look like a fool. If you decide to just ride it out to see where we end up, you can understand that it won't be good because of all the nocebos that have been thrown at us, and people are freaking out about those. When you're dealing with these real nocebos being pushed on you from every angle, it all seems like the only real solution is to give up. I had told my audience on the Ground Zero show, you know, everybody talks about how they predicted 9/11. Well, let me give you a little bit of a reminder of something. Ground Zero was first developed in 1995. The theme song you hear at the Ground Zero Lounge is a song called Christianity is Stupid by Negative Land. The song Christianity is Stupid goes on to say communism is good. In the song it says, the loudspeaker spoke up and said Ground Zero, and then you hear the words give up. I did used to have the word communism is good. The reason why is because I made the prediction long ago that Ground Zero would happen, people would give up, and we'd accept communism. Where are we now? So, figure that one out. That song's been playing on my radio show since 1995. We first need to decide what we no longer identify with, or that we don't want to identify with a political party. You want to, what I'm trying to say here is that if you want change, first thing you need to do is not identify with a political party, because there is no two-party system. The two-party system is there as an illusion of choice. There are no more than symbols of response, not choice. It's all about responding. We also need to decide whether or not it's more important to restore our founding heritage and whether or not we are willing to experience loss. Loss is something that is always a possibility when wanting something bad enough. We also need to give up some of our illusions. Much of what we know is based on hearsay. Perhaps it is time to admit that every time we have voted, we have never gotten the results we have wanted. We need to basically ascertain why, instead of thinking that it's one side or the other's fault. We need to admit that there are no two-party faults here. The problem is with us not paying attention and remaining neutral. Get out of your political party affiliation and do it now. Because they don't give a fuck about you. You must be willing to admit that Barack Obama and several presidents before him have been puppets of a gradual socialism creep, and he, along with the others, have prepared the way for the daddy state that will be initiated through a manufactured crisis. You must not allow yourself to be the puppet of fear or by some voodoo nocebo effect created by social engineers who simply do not have your best interests at heart. What I'm basically saying here is, please, it is now time to admit that Barack Obama is not doing a good job, and none of the presidents before him did a good job. So, admit that now. Yes, you can applaud if you want to. We need to also admit that the United States is never too big to fail, that many great and wonderful civilizations have made mistakes, and that we are not immune to doing things that are considered evil or horrible. We must also admit that many of our leaders have committed crimes against humanity, and that we must demand that they be put to trial and they should face punishment like any other criminal. If the country fails, then it will be part of our history, and complexity theory dictates that we will recover from that failure. It's time to admit that we're wrong. It's hard to do, but we have to do it in order to get out of this nocebo effect. We also need to admit that whatever we did in Iraq, we most certainly can't do it better than Iran or Afghanistan. Just because Obama is allegedly running the show does not make the war effort more efficient. It's just bogging us down. Any attempts to sanitize the war effort or glorifying it or even elevating it to a better level because of a euphemism like the right war, it's absurd, and we should look at it as doublespeak. I've heard it called the right war. No war is the right war. We also need to free ourselves from worries about global warming. Global warming is another nocebo effect that is being used as an excuse for higher taxes, eugenics directives, and other knee-jerk responses. The political hidden agenda of global warming is global sustainability. Climate change is real, and there's nothing you can do about it. Doing things that help the environment is common sense, and I will be the first in line to champion global warming efforts when my country stops stripping the earth of its resources to fight worthless wars. I will support global warming agendas when governments show interest in cleaning up the toxic waste that is destroying phytoplankton and many species of fish. Waste that is byproducts of the war machine. I will support global warming if they ever get behind that. But no government will. Why? Because we're pointing the finger at you, war machine. Stop the war machine and I'll consider joining the global warming club. Thank you. It goes without saying that we're given exceptional resources. We are given exceptional opportunities to improve our way of life, but we have forfeited the opportunity by putting all of our trust into small groups of elite sociopaths who have no regard for human life or the balance of nature. So when somebody tells me that I need to step up and be green, I want to look at them for a minute and see how green they are. And I can promise you, none of them are. Especially when they're fueling their Air Force Ones and their limos, and they're wasting their money on the war effort. We have resources, it's just that they're taking them from us. All they care about is power, all they care about is money, all they care about is more power and pain and suffering and fear. We have been given fiscal resources, natural resources, and intellectual resources to help others less fortunate, to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to heal the sick, to take away pain and suffering. This is what we all thought change was going to be. Instead, we will spend over $500 billion on a war machine that spews death and destruction around the world, gobbling up our financial resources at over $12,000 per second. Did we vote for that? Did we vote for wasting at $12,000 a second on a war effort that's going nowhere? We did, didn't we? Those of us who voted for Obama. Is this what you wanted? Is this the change you were looking for? Then don't apologize for Obama and don't apologize for Bush. This is not a blame game. This is what we have been doing and it's insanity. What I have to say tonight hopefully makes a difference. There are so many people who believe in the nocebo effect that I'm worried someone is actually going to freak out. They're going to feel like their life is not worthy of living anymore. They want to kill themselves, or they want to die or run away and hide. A lot of people thrive on the badness, though. I worry that deep down that many people have lost faith and it's all part of the nocebo effect to lose it. It's that curse of crisis that is pronounced from the pulpit by the Pope, by a priest, or by the President. If God Almighty is directing these men, I guess we can all white-knuckle our descent into the abyss because that's what it looks like it's going towards. The abyss of despair with all the nocebo effects that are out there. So long as our leaders, our elected leaders, consider us exceptional and better than the rest of the world, so long as we believe we can break any rule, not only international laws and conventions, but also those basic tenets found in the Constitution, so long as we utilize violence to solve conflict, so long as we squander our precious finite resources on a war machine engaged primarily in empire building and economic terrorism, so long as we willfully destroy the environment that sustains us and all living creatures on Earth, so long as our country continues down this path, we can all be proud of our newly formed world, the corporate thousand-year Reich, perfected and sanctified as we salute the flag of our future. Sieg Heil, America. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero Lounge. Good night.